if there's a town in the world that knows how to come back, you know, that knows how to respond, that knows how to reinvent themselves and be even better than they were before, it's Las Vegas.
I am on the prowl indeed. Welcome to Podcats. This is Cats, John Katzlamitas of the Las Vegas Review Journal. My column is called Cats, fittingly enough. Find it on page 3A every day and online all the time. My guest this week is Las Vegas royalty. He has served as director of Liberace Museum and is the director of the UNLV Performing Arts Center. Today, he's president of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts at Symphony Park in downtown Las Vegas, which on March 12th celebrated its 8th anniversary. The Smith Center is dealing with challenges like everybody else right now during the coronavirus pandemic, but I'm confident it will be back, and so will he. It's great to chat once more with Myron Martin. Good to talk to my friend, Myron G. Martin. Myron, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I don't know. I don't usually introduce with my middle initial. It sounds so formal.
I've been writing a lot about MGM today. I think that's the reason why.
Yes, I no longer have my shirts monogrammed with my initials and go there because people think I work there.
Yeah, I know. That's how I found out your middle initial was G, was off your sleeve, off your cuffs. And I know you don't work there. What does the G stand for anyway? Great, groovy.
Sure, of course.
Gregarious,
right?
Gregory.
It is all of those things, but the last one is the one my parents gave me.
Okay. Hey, I remembered that. Well, we're in a weird spot here, Myron. I appreciate your time as always. This is not the first difficult patch we've hit. Here in Las Vegas together or even independently. And first of all, how are you holding up, and how's the operation at the Smith Center getting by right now?
John, I don't know how to answer either question. I mean, I think we're all in this daze and this funk and this state of disbelief. You know, when we think about our incredible city and the fact that the casinos are closed, the fact that we've had to cancel Broadway shows, you know, big tours who were scheduled to be here in the next few weeks, the fact that we canceled nearly 2 months worth of shows of all kinds and Myron's Cabaret Jazz and Reynolds Hall and the Troche Studio Theater. We've spent just an abundant amount of our time just canceling shows to meet the governor's criteria and to make sure that our staff and our audience members are safe.
When was the last show that actually performed at the Smith Center?
It was in Reynolds Hall. It was the presentation of Once on This Island, which ran through Saturday and closed after Saturday night. They didn't play on Sunday, and it was just a sad time for all of us. And I tell you, John, I mean, part of what makes this so difficult is you know, people are working from home, those who can. Some of our hourly people are just standing by waiting to get called back in. You know, it's just terrible time when I think about my extended family. And that's how I think of those folks that I work with at the Smith Center every day. It's the thing that's keeping me up at night, you know, just thinking about them and their health and safety and when we're all going to be able to convene again and start inspiring audiences.
When do you think When is the next on sale date for a show at the Smith Center? Have you guys even pinpointed a target of when you would want to go back on sale at any of the venues?
No. Here and in fact, I was on a conference call with my colleagues from around the country at the biggest performing arts centers today. And I mean, all of the largest centers were on this conference call, and none of us know. We have no idea if we're going to be doing shows over the summer, or if it's going to be closer to the fall. We're just standing by.
As we've known throughout the years, and I mentioned at the top, we've seen a lot happen in Las Vegas, and you've been around a lot of recovery in this city. Is there anything that you've experienced from your position that feels like this, that you can compare it to? I mean, I know that we were, especially during the 9/11 aftermath, you were a community leader in that period of time. Is anything that you've experienced feel like this?
No. At the time, I didn't think that we could ever experience anything worse in Las Vegas than 9/11. And I will never forget that night that Clint Holmes and Bernie Human and Neil Miller and just this whole group of us got together late at night at the Ruth Chris Steakhouse over on Flamingo to say, this happened, what are we going to do about it? Because right after it happened, there was talk of how, you know, hotels were going to shut down or close, or there was going to be a period where people weren't going to travel to Las Vegas. And the entertainers kind of took it upon themselves to say, well, hang on a minute. We need to send a message to the country that Las Vegas is open for business, that people need to come here and have their vacations and have their conventions and go see shows. And I think it was that group of entertainers, you know, I mean, you know better than anybody that the list, I mean, Wayne Newton, Siegfried and Roy and everybody.
Everybody was in that show.
Yeah.
The amazing Jonathan, Lance Burton, Carrot Top. I met Carrot Top during that period of time, or was reintroduced to him. He was part of that. There was about 8,000 people at the event center for that.
Yeah,
for that
yeah.
Show.
Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Steve Lawrence. Just
Gordy.
You know, we could go on and on. Clint. The Shintas. I mean,
Shintas had just moved here. Bob was in it. That's right. He was still doing his regular shows here in Las Vegas too.
Yeah.
Is there a way to coalesce and get the entertainment community together in the aftermath of this when we can't really convene together? Have you thought about how the Smith Center could participate in some sort of effort that's not quite that, but would be have that kind of star power?
Well, so first let me say artists are doing just that right now, and they're doing it from their living rooms, and they're doing it, you know, with their iPhones. They're trying to continue to stay in touch with their fans, and they're trying to inspire the rest of us. I'm so happy when I see Las Vegas artists who go on on YouTube with something or Facebook Live and do a little concert from their living rooms. I think that's good for them. I think it's great for our audiences. And I think it says that we as human beings need that kind of inspiration that only music and the arts can bring. And so I can't say enough about, you know, the local arts community in Las Vegas and how they're trying to do their part. That answer your question, is there a way to bring the community together like we did after 9/11? And I think the answer is no. I mean, the idea of even thinking about planning a big concert where we're going to bring 8 or 10,000 people together at a time when we're being told don't go out in groups, it just doesn't feel right. So I don't know. I don't think that's going to be the way that we come out of this one.
That's what makes this so uniquely challenging, because we have, as the USO 9/11 show proved, that was like 2 months after the event, right? That was like exactly 2 months. We were able to get people together, and the idea was to come together. And Las Vegas is a very communal city that we go when things happen, we get together personally. And so that's what makes this, to me, so uniquely challenging, is because we're being told to not to do the very thing that we do instinctively to get through this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Very difficult. You know, I don't know how else to put it. It's very unusual.
Well, I tell you, I think one of the things that Las Vegas has that's going to help us all kind of, once we get the all clear, and again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm one to believe in Dr. Fauci and those experts that know a lot more about this than I do. But once they give us the all clear, I think one of the things that's going to give Las Vegas a great boost is that about that same time is when preseason football is going to start for the Raiders. And I think people are going to need a minute after we come out of this funk to feel comfortable about going into a big public assembly space, whether it's the Smith Center or the Raider, the Allegiant Stadium, or the MGM Grand Garden Arena, or wherever it may be. The idea of convening a group of thousands of people, I think it's going to take people a minute just to get comfortable with going back to a place where they're sitting with others.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was just thinking about the timing of when the Golden Knights opened, and the way they opened was in the immediate aftermath of the 1 October shooting. It could happen that the same type of restorative power could be furnished by the Raiders opening here as that moment. It'll be a different type of timeline and a different type of event. But if the timeline plays out the way we kind of anticipate it will, that could be a real restorative event, the Raiders opening here. You know, that could be the target that people look at to say, okay, Las Vegas is back. Here we are with our NFL team. Let's go get it. You know, that could very well be the coincidental, the similar event as Golden Knights were to 1 October, Raiders are to this.
That's kind of what I'm saying here, is that I think, you know, whereas I'm not one to say, hey, let's all just pick a date and say we're all going to go someplace on Easter Sunday or something. I do think, you know, there's a reason for us to believe and to hope that things will be in a place by the time the Raiders start playing their games, that not only will we be comfortable with going to a stadium or an arena or a theater, but our pent up, you know, we've been at home for so long that the pent up demand for events like that is going to drive us to want to go to a Raiders game. And by the way, around that same time, around the time the regular season opens, the Smith Center will have Hamilton coming back. And if there's right. ever a reason to get off of your couch and get out of your living room to go out and see something, Hamilton is that show. And we're fortunate that we're able to bring it back. We're fortunate that we have it for a number of weeks. And I certainly am optimistic that show will play its full run to full houses, and that people leave the Smith Center feeling inspired and excited and motivated to do more.
When does Hamilton, when is it due to perform?
You know, I will look up the dates as we're talking.
I'm looking it up now.
It's September,
September in the fall. Okay, there it is. Well, that would be another mark of if we can get through this, the fall is going to be hopping in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I think this is if there's a town in the world that knows how to come back, you know, that knows how to respond, that knows how to reinvent themselves and be even better than they were before, it's Las Vegas.
We just had a right before all this really came down two weeks ago, as we sit here, we had an event that was at the launch of the new magazine, the RJ magazine over at the Myron's Cabaret Jazz, and that happened to be the 8th anniversary of the Smith Center that night. March 12th, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it was. Do you look back and you're the only president we've had of the Smith Center? It's very much a Myron Martin driven facility with your team. What did you think when you were able to pass that period of time and enjoy the long term success that the venue has had?
Well, I tell you what went through my mind that night is that yes, it was our 8th anniversary, and you look back at all of the shows that have come to Las Vegas to play at the Smith Center. You look at the hundreds of thousands of students that have come and been inspired by the arts for, you know, daytime, school time events and performances. But then I look at things like the weddings that we've hosted and the memorial services that unfortunately we've hosted as well. And I think about, you know, all the things that have happened so far and how fortunate I am to have been a part of it, but how great it is to see the Smith Center be the living room for Las Vegas, as I've called it before, where things like a new magazine launched by the Review Journal would want to have their kickoff event. That says so much about the Smith Center and about how far we've come. And little did we know on that night on March 12th that we'd be having this conversation we're having today.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. But you know, John, as tough as things are for the Smith Center right now, I talked about how important my teammates are to me and how, you know, the thing I want most is for everybody to be able to go back to work and to start booking shows and bringing great things to Las Vegas. But there is no doubt in my mind that the Smith Center is going to play an important role in the comeback of Las Vegas. We just have to get through this tough period and you know, financially and otherwise. You know, and ironically and terribly, not only is the Smith Center experiencing a period where we have no revenue, right? I mean, there are no ticket sales. We're refunding all the tickets for shows that have been canceled, of course. But because of the stock market, the Smith Center's investments that we count on to help run the place have seen a great decline because of the stock market. So,
really?
Well, sure. I mean, we have these investments and the market has tanked in the last couple of weeks. And that includes, you know, listen, it includes my 401k and your 401k and everyone's retirement accounts. And yes, it affects the Smith Center's investments as well. We look forward to the market turning up, which it has the last 3 days and getting us back to where we were. But these are all the worries of the day that frankly we're sharing with just about everybody in the country.
So I'm a supporter of the Smith Center. I go, I'm a, season subscriber and all that, and I'm looking at the stock market. Which stocks am I charting to make sure that the Smith Center is going to survive?
Now, fortunately, thanks to the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation, we were introduced to some really great investment advisors who are keeping an eye on those investments. It's not like, you know, we have a few bucks and we put it all in Google or something.
or Apple.
It's a diversified stock portfolio, which thanks to our donors, and again, starting with the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation, who said that their first gift should be for an endowment to help the Smith Center in times of trouble, and others who have followed their lead and contributed to the Smith Center's endowment account. Thank goodness we have it. I'm not sleeping at night right now watching it go down in value, but I have to believe our advisors that, you know, what goes down will turn back up and sometime in the future, that portfolio will be doing well. And listen, John, along those lines, I have to tell you, we have not kind of reached out to season ticket holders or donors or single ticket buyers with any kind of an ask. It doesn't feel like this is the right time to say, you know, times are tough, make a donation. Mm-hmm. Other than when we have deposited money into people's accounts, into their ticketing accounts, when shows have been canceled, we have said, we'll gladly refund your money. We would gladly accept a donation if you wanted to donate these tickets back to the Smith Center to help in our work. And mm-hmm. and we've even said, you know, if you want to use the tickets that you are getting refunded as a way to become a member of the Smith Center, we would encourage that as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, tickets only cover 70% of the Smith Center's cost. And so we always mm-hmm. have to raise money anyway. But now at a time when we don't even have ticket revenues, we really are going to need some help. And like I say, other than when it comes to ticket refunds, we've not kind of had an appeal where we've said, please donate to the Smith Center. But as the largest nonprofit arts group in our state, there's no doubt that we will be doing that. And there's also no doubt in my mind that this community is going to step up and help us when and if that time comes.
Yeah, I totally hear you. When you make that offer about donation in place of accepting the refund, that goes to each individual ticket holder, right? When they're notified about their refund offers,
because I haven't seen as shows get canceled and you know they didn't all just get canceled on one day, but as shows get canceled, if you have tickets for that show, you get an email saying we have already credited your account, and you can either ask us to give you a cash refund, we can credit your credit card, or you can donate it back to the Smith Center or become a member of the Smith Center, which I happen to really love because, you know, we do have a lot of great donors, but this business of having members, people who donate 50, 100 bucks a year just to help with that gap between mm-hmm. ticket sales and what it costs to operate, all of those folks mean an awful lot to the Smith Center and an awful lot to me as well. So if we can get a few more people becoming members of the Smith Center at any level, then that's a really good thing.
How's the response been? Have a lot of people taken that option to donate back?
I would say, I don't know what the percentage is, but a good percentage of people have been donating back. We're just now adding this membership option. And we'll see how that goes, but I have a feeling it's going to be a really, really good thing for everybody. Because then, yeah, look, they get stuff. They're part of the Smith Center's inner circle, and they get
right.
correspondence and all. So we'll see how that goes. Listen, every day is a new day. Every couple hours, it seems like there's something new for us to consider.
Boy, you're right about that.
Like, for instance, whether or not what's going through Congress, what was passed in the Senate and hopefully gets passed mm-hmm. with the House tomorrow, will have any impact on the Smith Center or not.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, if that $2 trillion has a way of working into a place like the Smith Center and help bolster its future. I think that the president was asked during the week about money that was allotted for the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Something like, yeah, I think the number was $50 million, but it was a significant amount of money that was targeted for that obviously artistically relevant venue. Do you think that the Smith Center and like facilities across the country will be getting some assistance as well?
Well, all right. So first of all, put the Kennedy Center aside. I was actually on the phone with the president of the Kennedy Center earlier today. The amount they are slated to get is $25 million.
Okay.
But you have to remind people that the Kennedy Center is the living tribute to John F. Kennedy, our president. And as such, it's run by Federal Parks. There's an awful lot of kind of public access and free public stuff that happens there. So you have to think about the Kennedy Center as that versus another performing arts center. But having
said that,
it would
be more like a national park rather than
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what kinds of things might flow to, a Smith Center or an Orange County Performing Arts Center or a Denver Center? There are a few things, and the one that I'm most interested in, and the one that we're studying at the moment, has to do with SBA loans. So Small Business Administration, specifically helping the nonprofit sector. And one of the things that we think is in the bill, and by the way, Dina Titus' office has been remarkable through this and keeping us up to speed with what's happening and advocating not only for Las Vegas, but the arts sector in particular and small businesses in general. But if this is the way we understand it, there may be a way for a group like the Smith Center to apply for grants specifically to keep your payroll going. So money specifically to pay your employees during this downtime. And if I understand it, and like I say, this is changing every hour, but if I understand it, is if you use these funds specifically for paying employees, for keeping them on the payroll, and if you in fact keep them on the payroll for a period of time, and I think it's 120 days, that at the end of that 120 day period, they will forego repayment of that loan. So it goes from a loan to a grant if you in fact use it the way the government's encouraging you to use it. And man, would that be perfect for the Smith Center, because as I've said three or four times, the thing that's keeping me up at night is how to make sure that we take care of these extraordinary people that work at the Smith Center.
We see them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so many of them have been here since the beginning. They work hard. They love the place. They really are family. And so if in fact this part of the bill would allow us to do that, I think it would be a brilliant stroke on our government's part to help nonprofits like ours.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But you're right about the family aspect. I see these guys all the time. Everyone from the box office to the, the yeah. people at the bar to our friends, the ushers. I mean, it's. I know every person personally at the Smith Center somehow. You know. So it is our our community center in so many ways. If I have my math right about this, Myron, you'll be here. You're here 25 years this year, right? Did you move here in 95?
Well, that's a good question. And that's about when I moved here. I don't keep up with myself that well, I guess.
I have you moving here to take over the Liberace Museum in 95. I think that's right. So you've been a Las Vegan for quite some time. It's a long stretch for you.
Well, it's a long stretch, but it's home. I mean, I love Southern Nevada. I love living here. I love what we've been able to accomplish, but it's the people that are so important. And by the way, back to this bill that's going through Congress, and speaking of people, one of the things that I'm hopeful for is that there's a way for people who gig, you know, musicians and entertainers who don't work for a company, but may be able to benefit not just from the whatever it is, $1,200 or something that people are going to get, but with some kind of aid for lost gigs. Because look at all of our friends, John, the people you and I know who are sitting at home because they have to, who had gigs canceled on them because the venues had to cancel them. They're going without pay. So let's hope that, you know, all of those folks, I just had about 100 of them flash through my brain. Let's hope that these friends and neighbors of ours here in Las Vegas are also helped by this government aid package, because A, they deserve it, B, they need it, and C, that's part of what will make Las Vegas stronger when we come out of this.
Well, you're exactly right. What do we have in Las Vegas? But if not a whole community full of the people you just described, they're artistic entrepreneurs. If that makes sense, they're people who can do it all. They do everything from corporates to you know, swinging two or three shows. I hate to start listing them, but we know who they are. They're people who populate my column. They populate our lives. And I've been in text with many of them today, actually asking about that, because the term that I have heard used, and I forget which elected official said it, but we're taking care of the gig workers. That was the actual term, and they held up as an example Uber drivers and people who are not part of a company, but the lounge entertainers, the people who do gig in showrooms here and there, or who go out on cruise ships or are contracted that way. That is who they're talking about.
Yeah.
And we have got to figure out how those people can be compensated, because that is the lifeblood of the Las Vegas entertainment industry in so many ways. We have a lot of resident headliners and superstars, but I'm thinking of the same people you're thinking about.
And listen, our congressional delegation, the Nevada delegation, understands that. They get it. They appreciate the fact that our state is full of these, you know, quote unquote gig workers. And I don't doubt for a minute that the Nevada delegation is doing everything they can to help this group of people. And I've certainly encouraged it because man, these are folks that need our help right now.
Boy, yeah, that's I've had so many tell me that, you know, they see, you know, you see the coverage of those who were able to apply for unemployment, and there are many who are in that class too, the Cirque du Soleil artists and you know, people who are in that class or who work for one of the casino companies. But they say, you know, what about those of us who don't have that opportunity, that option? And hopefully this is a way for them to be taken care of while we get through this patch. But I, for one, am looking forward to that time when this is behind us. And somewhere, maybe at your place, we have a big reconvening party and throw it down once again. You know, that's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to get to that point where we can change the trajectory and get out ahead of this and make that the plan. You know.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that when we do get through this, there are going to be a lot of happy faces at the Smith Center. You know, people who work there and people who come there as patrons and audience members as well. It will be a celebration, and it won't be one night. It'll be a long period of time, where I think, where every day at the Smith Center will be a celebration.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be there for it.
I know you will.
We've gone through a lot together. You know, I was thinking about this the other day on St. Patrick's Day, the night where it happened to be the night where Sisolak gave his speech. I always wear a pair of shoes on St. Patrick's Day. That's a special pair of shoes, and you were with me when I bought them. They were the last pair of shoes ever sold at the Liberace Museum, and they're blinged out Liberace style green shoes. Green, they have like a leopard print to them.
Yes.
They were the last pair of shoes that they were selling there. And they probably, because they were the ugliest shoes that were on the shelf. And I remember buying them and paying for them. And you and I walked out together and we had that it was started to rain and we had that double rainbow.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that moment.
We
walked out of there. Yeah. And that was the last day of the Liberace Museum. And you and I shared that together. I just was remembering that when this all came down, how interesting it was that I still had those shoes. And I was thinking about that moment that we took part in and, you know, got through also. So it's definitely not our first rodeo, as they say.
No. Listen, we've been to opening nights and we've been to closing nights and we've seen the city evolve. And I think you and I both know that this is a city that's going to come back stronger than ever.
I'd bet on it. I bet on us always. Our house wins. So, all right, Myron Martin, I so appreciate you for this purpose and for all the other purposes. And I'm looking forward to, you know, when this is behind us and one day we can talk about this in the past tense and remember how we got through it. So we're going to keep the conversation going. And I just thank you once again for everything that you do and especially for being on podcasts this week.
Well, thanks again. I always enjoy being on podcasts, and we'll join you anytime you ask. And I appreciate you, John. I tell you, you and I were just talking about all of the people who are gig workers in the entertainment business, and I talk to, I almost said all of them, most of them on a fairly regular basis. I mean, these are my friends. And the thing that we all have in common is our appreciation for John Katzlamitis. The fact that and I'm dead serious here. I don't know how you do it. There are nights where I know because I either see you or I read about where you've been on a given night where you may have popped into six or eight different shows. In six or eight different venues, and interviewed artists and talked to audience members and written about the experience. You were there for this community in such a remarkable way. And so on behalf of the entertainment community and all of those gig workers that we've been talking about today, I just want to say thank you to Katz.
Well, I can never do enough, you know that. But it's helpful, Myron, that I'm that you're the Smith Center is in my backyard where I live, so it makes it easy for me to get over there. I can often start my night at your place, so that's helpful. I appreciate that. All right, my brother. Well, whether it's at the Smith Center or in New York City or wherever, we're going to tee it up again, and I thank you again, and we'll chat soon.
You got it. Thanks again.
Thanks once more to Myron Martin for joining us this week on Podcats. As always, we'll be back next Monday and every Monday, so be sure to subscribe to the show where you're listening right now. What is happening in the column, you might be asking yourselves? Well, Bruno Mars has donated $1 million to the MGM Resorts Foundation. supporting MGM employees in financial hardship because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Kirk Kerkorian Estate has also added $2 million, and acting MGM Resorts CEO and President Bill Hornbuckle and his wife Wendy have pledged $100,000 to the campaign. MGM Resorts Foundation's Employee Emergency Grant Fund and Children's Medical Support Fund assists MGM employees and their families with short-term assistance during unexpected hardships and emergencies, and we are in one right now. Cirque du Soleil has launched the digital hub Cirque Connect, which you can find by clicking cirquedusoleil.com/CirqueConnect or the hashtag Cirque Connect on Twitter. That's hashtag Cirque Connect. Cirque has culled existing footage for fans to access from home, including the debut at noon Friday of an hour-long special from O at Bellagio and the international shows Curios and Luzia. Las Vegas singer-songwriter Sean Eiferman is performing a series of acoustic performances called The Vegas Show. These hour-long concerts assist Las Vegas musicians who have lost their gigs, which is pretty much all Las Vegas musicians. They go off at noon and 8 p.m. daily and are available at Eiferman's Facebook page at Sean Eiferman. That's S-H-A-W-N-E-I-F-E-R-M-A-N. There is a GoFundMe link also to support. We write about Las Vegas singer Naomi Morrow and her husband Gio, who are making between 50 and 60 loaves of bread a day out of the family restaurant Pizza Manzu. Naomi has been a singer in town for years as a soloist and also with David Perico's Pop Evolution Orchestra. She and Gio saw the need for bread when they noticed customers mobbing Las Vegas grocery stores. And read about a bunch of Las Vegas singers cutting a version of We Are the World, organized by former Chippendales singer Brian Chan. The effort is posted on Brian's Facebook page at BryanChan and includes such performers as David Terry from Magic Mike Live, Lorena Perel and Ann Martinez of Fantasy, Mark Chinook and Cheryl Darrow of The Space, Stephanie Sanchez of MGM Resorts International, Jason Allen of Monday's Dark, Brandon Nix, Val Witherspoon of Friends, the musical parody, Cena Foley of Zoe Bowie, Lily Arce of David Perico's Pop Strings, and Savannah Smith of the Moonshiners. Check it out on Brian's Facebook page and also in the column. That closes out another episode of Podcats. Thank you, Frankie Marino, for our theme song, The Biggest Cat in Town. Keep up with me, or try to, on the Review Journal website or at Johnny Katz on Twitter, at JohnnyKatz1 on Instagram, and tune in next Monday to the next installment of Podcats. And I'm the biggest cat in town.